Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's time to start our services. Everybody grab a Heavenly Highway Hymn, second edition. Turn to page 305. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 5. And it's always an honor to have Sister Shirley accompany us. Thankful for that today. Let's turn over to page 168. 168.
Thank you. songs this morning, some of the good old hymns, as we call them many times. It's always good to sing them along. We need to show our young people the old songs that we sing sometimes. It's good to sing the new ones, don't get me wrong, and I'm for them, don't get me wrong about that. As Brother Bowie Massey used to tell us at church, Amazing Grace was a new song one time. And so he was right. And many of the new songs have really great meanings, and good songs is what they are. And they will one day be our classics, probably. Some of them will be. But we are thankful for these good old songs that I grew up with. They are always the ones that gets to my heart. It is good to be with each and every one of you today. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. I hope you've been had a good week. I'll say it that way. I hope you've had a good week. Hope everything's went well. I hope you've had a chance to do something for God this week, even if it was just saying, thank you, Lord. Ah, Fuji, you thought, invite somebody to church. That's the second one. But the thing that we should always be available to do is praise God. And that thanking God is a way of praising Him. And so I hope you've at least done that this week. I think that's just the very least that we can possibly do, is thank the Lord for His salvation, for His goodnesses that He's done for us. And I hope and pray today that we can just be about God's business in this service today. I'm looking for a good day in the Lord today. We are getting ready for Vacation Bible School, as you've seen outside. Many of the decorations for the kids and some more things will be added. They'll be setting up this afternoon after our church service, finishing up the setting up for that, and that'll start on Wednesday night. So we want to be prayerful. We want to be praying about the Vacation Bible School, that there'll be an opportunity there to tell somebody about Jesus, maybe for the first time, but maybe as much as anything, they'll hear it and it'll get into their heart so much that it'll convict their soul and somebody will be saved. I've heard of some Vacation Bible Schools. I've never been blessed to see it, where they've had as many as 6-7 kids to get saved and more. And so it can happen if we'll do our part. And that's what I'm going to be praying for this week, that we'll see people get saved. So we'll keep that in mind this week. Been another good week as far as people being saved. And let's ask the Lord to remember our revival also. Now, next order of business for us today is to get on about our church service. We always have our children's church. And Brother Sam, we'll turn it over to you at this time.
Well, don't everybody come at once.
Come on, kids.
All right. Very good. We won't keep you too long today, I promise. For the first hour, we're just going to sing, and then the second hour, we'll just... Don't look at me like that, Ben. I'm telling a joke. He thought I was serious, Tom. He thought I was serious. You're the man, though. You're the man. All right. If I'm not mistaken, I might have talked about this last year on this day. But we all like stuff that's free, don't we? Who likes free stuff? Free? Yeah. It doesn't require any effort. It doesn't require any payment. No money. If we're broke, you know, it's free. Say again?
We don't need to give them anything.
Who? Okay. Well, anybody that wants something. But once in a while, we like to have stuff that's free, right? Who doesn't? Who doesn't, right? So, what do you call if I give you something and it's free? Come on. Not everybody. Somebody's trying to give you a hint over here. What do you say? A gift. That's right. A gift, you know. Sometimes gifts or privileges are really free, you know. And I'm thinking of things that we're going to be celebrating on Tuesday. What is Tuesday on the calendar? Today's July 2nd. Tomorrow's July 3rd, which is Monday. So July 4th. What does that mean in America? What day is that? 4th of July. Independence Day, right? We gained our independence from our former country that was had us under their leadership. But we didn't want that. And by the way, I love your flag shirt, Ben. You get the gold star today. So we're enjoying a privilege, you know, that people instituted long ago. It's free. We get to do what we want. But it costs somebody something. You know, I love this flag up here because it represents, you know, our country. And there's been a lot of people who spent a lot of time making sure that you and I have this privilege that we have today. You know, and a lot of the adults will understand what I'm saying in here. And there's a saying that goes about, you know, when something is free, there's a saying that says there's no free lunch. Mm-hmm. People say they're getting something for free, but it costs somebody something, a gift, you know. But what I want you to understand today, that the gift that is available to us comes from God, and it's free. It's free, and we're going to quote a verse in a minute about the gift, but it's a gift of God, and it's free to everybody, and it won't cost you a dime. It'll cost you the act of repentance and believing, but it costs our Lord his life. It cost him to go to the cross and die for me and you. And so for you to receive that gift, you're going to have to believe in him. You're going to have to trust him. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have a new flag, where this flag right here talks about the United States. The one in the other corner is what we call the Christian flag, right? You see that? Everybody see that? See the red cross in the top? That represents Jesus. And it represents his sacrifice. There's been a lot of people, and I can appreciate Brother Ricky's prayer that he prayed this morning in Sunday school about those who sacrificed, that give us the gift and the privilege of freedom today. So stand up, and let's think about that, and repeat after me, and I want you to say it loud so that everybody in the back can hear it, okay? So just say it out loud. Romans 6.
Romans 6.
23.
23.
The last part. But the gift of God, is eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't lose any fingers popping the firecrackers, okay? You're free to go. Thank you.
We'd like to say we're glad to have each and every one of you here today. I do appreciate each and every one that's come out. Glad to have our visitors. Some of you are back for the first time in a while after sicknesses, and so we are glad to see you back with us again. And we're just thankful that you've been able to come out to be with us today. We have several that are sick right now or having problems. Most of you may remember or may know this. Brother Jeff Sanford passed away the other night, and we need to remember his family in our prayers today. And I haven't heard any arrangements as of yet as far as his funeral. And we need to, but we do need to remember Sister Donna in our prayers as well as the rest of the family. Sister Theta and, I went blank. The other one, Sister Barbara, excuse me. Thank you, Brother Stewart. Sister Barbara both fell this week, and we need to be prayerful for them in this today. I want us just to be prayerful today. It's needful. We've got a lot to pray for. We've got lost ones that needs to be prayed for. We've got sick that needs to be prayed for. We've got our church that needs to be prayed for. We need to pray for ourselves, is the way I'll say it today. Is there any other prayer request on our hearts today? Let's remember this young man in our prayers with his cancer. Somebody else, we are thankful for each and every one of you being here today, and we ask that you would just please pray today and that the Lord might help us in this service today. We'll call on one to pray, but we want you to pray in your own way today. Brother Sonny, if you would you lead us in prayer?
Let's just remain standing. Turn over to 126. Sing a song of patriotism this time. Let's turn over to page 82 as we continue worship here. Page 82. We'll do one more song, page 66. Page 66. Stand up.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Shirley. Appreciate the good playing today. Appreciate everything that's been done thus far, and appreciate the good songs and the good song leading and good singing this morning. We're glad to see each and every one here today, and if you are visiting with us today, we are glad to have you. And we just ask that you just worship the Lord with us is what I hope you'll do today. Does anybody have anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? I always like to give an opportunity for that because the Lord knows what the service needs a lot better than I do. And so let's be about God's business, as I say so many times, and let's ask the Lord to help us today to do what He wants us to do. We're going to take our reading lesson today from John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. Be sure you pray for me today. John, the fifth chapter, and the fourth, starting with verse 4. And the angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the waters, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years, in other words. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And that's reading verses 4 through 9 for our reading lesson today. I'm going to divert. Now, Brother Sam, a lot of times when he starts his sermon, he tells a joke on me. I'm not going to do that now. But I do have a couple of things today to kind of change things up. I got this thought a couple of weeks ago sitting in a church service, and the preacher made a comment, and my mind went to a, for lack of better words, to a comedian that we used to hear from time to time. And you'll know who I'm talking about, probably most of you will, but he was known for talking about rednecks is what he was. And he had one skit that basically where he said the language of rednecks. Now, let me back up just a second here. Back years ago, when I was living in Florida and working down there, there was a lady got to talking to me one day, and she basically said she was driving through a certain area and her car broke down. And she said, all of a sudden, here come another truck pulling up, and she said it was a truckload of rednecks. She said, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm sitting over rubbing my neck. I'm country. So when he came out with these things that he said that language, I identified with it because they were words that I used from time to time myself. Now, that's still one of the amazing things to me as being pastor down here, that you tolerate a country preacher like me. But the thing is, one of part of the routine, I guess, is what that he did, and this is where my thought's going to be from today, and this fits in with this lesson. And he said, in the South, people use a term, and they say, want to. They don't say, do you want to? They don't do like they say it here in the Bible, wilt thou be made whole? They'd say, won't to. And that's true, we do. We say, do you want to? Or won't to is the term that we use. It's an old term that basically, we shorten it down quite a bit. Do you want to or won't to? And that is our thought today, won't to. I believe in order for any church service to to be what it needs to be, there needs to be some want to it, right? For somebody to get saved, there's got to be some want to. You've got to want to be saved. You've got to want to serve God. You've got to want to be where God wants you to be. You've got to want to live like the Bible tells you to do it for you to live like God wants you to do. Now, we're not going to try to cover all of these today, but the thing that I especially want to talk about today is that you've got to want to. Want to. Do you want to? If I look over here at some of these that are here today and I said, do you want me to carry you out to eat today? Yeah, I want to. Maybe I asked if you want to go to a certain place. Yeah, I want to. See, we've got to have a desire to want to do something. Do I want to go to downtown Nashville during one of their big festivals that they're having? No. There's no want to about that. Mm-mm. No, I don't want to go to somewhere like that that's so crowded that I am going to be very nervous about who's around me. I'll give you another one. Some of you's headed toward the beach here in the next week or so. Do I want to swim with sharks? Nope. Would I like to see the beach again? Yeah, I'd want to. You see, I'm giving you an idea here today of what we're talking about. There needs to be a want to. Usually if we want to do something, we get enough want to about us, we start to try to arrange to get it. Here's another one on me. Every once in a while I'm going to use another southern word. I get a hankering. Y'all know what that is. I decided I want a particular thing. And if Paula's busy and she can't fix it for me, I'll get out a box or something and I'll fix it myself. I want to when I do that. You like that? Are you like that? How about this today? Do you want to be blessed of God? Do you really want to be blessed of God today in this service? Let's bring it down here to that today. Are you here today and you're not saved? Do you want to be saved? I didn't get no amens. I want you to think about that today. We want to today. We need that today in this service. We need that in this church today. When Jesus came to this man, he had a terrible need in him. He'd been lame for 38 years is what he'd been. I believe he had a desire to be healed. If he had not had that desire, he would have not been laying beside this pool of water waiting for a legend to happen. And basically, that's what it was. It was the legend. And yes, he had probably seen it come to pass at different times because he said, I don't have somebody to put me into the pool, but when the water's troubled, they step in before me and they get healed. He was wanting to be healed. He wanted to be there for that purpose. But when Jesus came to him, he was still thinking it was something that he needed to do. He was thinking that it was something that he had to get to the water. He really thought the healing power was in the water itself. But the water was not the healing power. It wasn't even the angel that troubled the water. It was still God that was doing the blessing to heal these individuals in that day. But the healer was before him. I want you to know something today. The healer is here today. I want you to know that today. I want to say it again. The healer is here today. And if you want salvation, you can be saved. He is the Savior. He is the one that will give you salvation, as Brother Sam said, in that he was talking about that free gift. Jesus is the one that can give you that free gift today. I want you to get that into your mind today as much as anything today. But there is one thing that you need today before you can get saved. You've got to want to. You've got to want to be saved. You can't just hope that maybe God will look upon you either because of your pretty face, maybe your statue, maybe because that you've been nice to others, maybe it's because of maybe something good that you've done that you think that you could deserve to be saved. I want you to understand today, God wants to save those that wants to be saved. Let me give you a verse here today as it comes out of the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and this is a verse that is pretty plain in what it says. I shouldn't say pretty plain, it's plain, but it's one that we use quite a bit. The 6th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews says this: but without faith it is impossible to please Him, please God, in other words. That is the part that we use the very most. It's impossible to please God without faith, is what we're saying. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, is what it says. There has to be some want to in your heart in order to get saved. Do you want to save face today? Do you want to say, well, I don't want to go up to the altar. I don't want to go pray. I don't want to go up before this congregation. Well, it's gotten down to this point. Which one do you want worse? If I asked you about your favorite cookie or favorite dessert or your favorite meal versus something else, which one would you choose? Usually the thing that we consider our favorites, we'll go out of our way to get that. If you have a particular restaurant that you like, you'll go out of your way to get to that place. But the thing that I'm trying to get to your mind, there needs to be a want to in your minds. He that, what he said here, for he that cometh to God, there needs to be a coming to God. You can't just stand there, sit there, be there, and think that God's going to come up to you and just slap you on the back and say, you're saved. He's not going to work that way. You've got to want to. You've got to want the salvation. The next part of that verse, what he said was this. He says, that ye must believe that He is. That's the important part. That goes back to the first part of the verse, where that he says, but without faith, belief and faith being the same thing, you must believe that He is a rewarder of them. And I want you to get this next part of this verse, that diligently seek Him. I spoke a minute ago about wanting to go somewhere. You wanted to. And you put forth an effort to go there. You put forth that effort to get to that place. Maybe sometimes it's just a portion of, you know where something is that you really want at that time, and you'll seek it out. You'll start to search for it. You'll start to want to find it so hard that you will, quote, diligently seek Him. What does it mean diligently? You put forth an effort. You put forth an idea in your mind. I want to do this. I want to be saved. Every individual that truly gets saved really gets to a place where they want to be saved more than anything else. And that is a hard thing to get to. I've heard countless people say, I'm going to back up and start here at this place, using me. In my prayer that day, when I sought the Lord that night, what I said, Lord, I don't want to be left alone. So I sought out the Lord. I wanted to be saved at that moment in time. I've heard people say that they would even take death if it took their own life. In other words, Lord, just save me. That was their testimony. I don't know that I ever really got to that place, but that is a position that they really wanted salvation more than their own life. The Bible tells us, and Jesus doing the speaking, he said, except ye forsake, get this, father, mother, houses, land, and yea, even your own life, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe is the way that verse goes. I know those 5 points are definitely in there. Father, mother, which one had you rather have? Your father and mother? Maybe that's that boyfriend. Maybe that's that girlfriend. Maybe it's that one thing that you have. Would you rather have salvation or would you rather have that? In my day, a lot of kids wanted a Corvette. I had a buddy, that's what he wanted. He wanted a Corvette. He finally saved up and he got him one. He kept it about a year or so and he sold it. He did. He sold it. He decided he needed to have that money for his family. He wanted to take care of his family. But all the time that we were growing up, you know what he wanted? He wanted that Corvette. I want you to think today, what is more valuable than your soul? Think about that today for you. What is more valuable than your soul? Truthfully, there's nothing any more valuable than your soul. You might think that, well, that particular car would be nice. You might think, well, this home that I have, it's good, and that's what I want. You may think this particular job is greater than anything that I could ever desire. You might think that it's something else completely different, but the most valuable thing that you have in your life today is your soul. Which one do you want worse? Which one would you want worse is what I'm going to ask you today. Ask the question of yourself today. Which one do I want more? Do I want to be saved? Or do I want blank? You might say, well, I don't think I know how to get saved. Ask the question. One person I can remember, different people over the years I can remember, they said, if you don't know something, ask. There was a jailer that heard Paul and Silas praying. They heard him praying, heard them praying and singing about Jesus. And when the earthquake came, I think he saw that his life could have left. I wonder how close he actually got to dying. Maybe there was a tree fell over close to him. Maybe there was something else happened right there about that time. I don't know. But he got serious about wanting salvation, wanting what these two men had. And he went in to where they were and he said unto them, and you'll find this in the 30th verse of the 16th chapter of Acts. Asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch and he asked him the question. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? There had to be a want to in that, that he was already trying to understand. There had to be a want to it. When that jailer, what they went on to tell him was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want to give you another verse out of Acts. And listen to the way Peter said this. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in order for a person to be saved, they've got to want it before they can call on his name. Now, as we continue to think about this, what about if? Is that what's in your mind? What if he don't want me? Maybe that's your thought. Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. And actually what he was trying to tell them was, he said, I was so bad that I didn't see why he would save me. But he saved him. I want you to listen to a verse out of the 10th chapter of John. And listen to what he says here in the 9th verse. Jesus said, I am the door. Get this. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So many times we talk about the gate being narrow and straight. We talk about it, and that you must enter in. Jesus said, I am that door, gate, whichever one you want to take it. He said, I am that gate. Notice he put if in that. In my opinion, this is my opinion, if is one of the biggest two-letter words there is in our vocabulary. I said this one time. You can say, if I go to school tomorrow and it is completely different, I'm going to school tomorrow. That word if changes it completely. If you will enter in at that door. You see, the want to changes the if. Did you understand what I said? Your want to can change that if. Because when you pray, what you're going to say is, Lord, I want to be saved. You're not saying, if you are the Lord, I can be saved. You change what you pray. I want to give you another thought here today before we go on any further with this, and I'm going to be winding up with this, Brother Brad. If you go back to Luke, the 8th chapter is where I'm going, if you want to look at this. Jesus tells a parable about a man who sows. And he sowed seed. And I've done that over the years, different times. I had a little spot of ground, not much, we'll say about the width of that chair, back bench back there, I guess is about what it is. That square there at home. I tore that thing up, got it in really good shape. I got me some grass seed to go in there. And I went in there and I sowed that little piece of ground. I thought I was sowing it really thick is what I really did and what I wanted to do. But you know, now some of those seeds didn't come up. What he did, he said, there's some that goes by the wayside. Some of it got out of that worked ground is what it did. And it never did offer to even try to come up. Then there was some, in this case, it fell on stony ground. I thought I had all them rocks out. But you know what? I keep finding rocks in that little spot of ground. I pull them out, but there's no grass there. There was probably, for a little bit of time, there was maybe a little bit of grass over those rocks, and seeds, I should say, and it came up. But that rock, there was no root, so it died. Then I didn't have this problem. He said some of it fell among thorns and thistles. There wasn't no thorns and thistles in that little spot of ground of mine. But what happens with that? It choked it out. Then he said there was some that fell on good ground. Now, go back to your thought here. He said that which fell by the wayside, it was just gone. It never got a chance. But he said that fell on the rocks, and I kind of explained that. It got choked out. It just died like that. Why did it die? There was no root for it. In your case, what he was saying to them, you can grow. You can still live with it. You water it. You do in your life with that the Lord has given you. Really and truly now, I've been talking to those that are lost mostly in this today. But I want you as lost ones, I want you to get in your mind that it's good for you to want to work for God and do for Him in your service to Him, to try to pay back just a little bit of what the Lord did for you. You see, that being choked out is a dangerous thing that every child of God that just gets saved, those weeds will come, those briars, those thistles will come, and they'll smother you out. There's one spot in that little spot of ground that's different. It's kind of like a rock, but it's dirt. And I had run that tiller through there, and it was good, soft ground. But what I come to find out, there's a spot about that big in that spot. And it's just like a rock, but it's dirt. And it faded out. You see, what I'm wanting you to do today is not only want to be saved, but I want you to work for God. I want you to serve Him. You've got to want to do that. Now, I realize there's some of you here today, you came because mom and daddy or whoever said you're going to church. But you that made the choice, why did you come to church? Well, you wanted to. You might have thought of it as being an obligation. Might have thought of it as, I just need to go. But when it comes down to that time, you want to. You see, there was some grass that come up in that little spot of ground that after a while, as the rains came, it washed it off, washed that loose soil off. And there is no grass whatsoever in that spot of ground just about that big. And I've looked at it, and it's hard as a rock. And what happened when I worked that ground, I missed that spot because it was hard beforehand. Today I'm trying to work your ground. I'm trying to make sure there's no place in there. You see, that's what I want to do for you. So that in the interpretation of this verse, in verse 15, Jesus said, but that fell on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word and keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, if you go over, and I believe it's in Matthew, I think is where it says it. It might be Mark. But it says it brought forth some tenfold. In other words, 10 times as much. Some of it brought 20-fold. Some 40 and some 60. See, I want you to get saved. And you might say, well, is that the only reason you want me to get saved? So I can serve God? No, I want you to get saved so you can go to heaven. But I want you to serve God for this purpose, that you can bring forth fruit. What is the fruit? That you can bring somebody else in to be saved like you. Let me ask you a question today. I want you to go through your mind, and this is not bragging on yourself. Think within your mind, how many people have I led to the Lord? Maybe you ever put it this way. How many people do you think you've helped get saved? Think about it. Did you help 10? That's what the Lord said. Some of them brought tenfold more. Maybe you've been good and you've helped 20. What about 30? I think about some of the old preachers and some of the old saints. Oh, they brought forth 60 and 80-fold, I believe. You know why? They wanted to. See, the Lord saves us for a reason. He saves us for a reason. Here's a thought that I hadn't used in a long time. The Lord did not save you just to sit down on your good intentions. I used to hear preachers say that a lot. Hadn't used that in a long time, I don't think. The Lord did not save you just for your good intentions. He wants you to bring forth fruit. Send a friend, I want you to spring up in this good ground. I want you to grow. I want you to flourish in God's blessings. It doesn't matter to me, but it does to God. He wants you to want to. First, get saved. You can't do anything good. You can't do anything good by yourself, not saved. But once you're saved, you can do more good than you ever realized that you could. If you want to. If you want to. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. I want to say this. Where do you start today? I'll close it out this way. Where do you start? If you've not been saved, you need to get saved. Right now. If you've been saved and you haven't been working for God, it's time to want to. Whether that's joining the Lord's church or whether it is just going to somebody and speaking to them about their lost soul. Just telling them that you want to be saved. Do you want to? While we stand and sing, I want us to come around and shake hands with one another. I think that's good for us today.
179.
While you're going by somebody that you wonder is lost, ask them about it. While you're going around, if you're needing to join church, tell me. We'll give you that opportunity while we stand and sing.